Good morning. Welcome to Three Mile Wesleyan Church here in sunny Elkview, West Virginia on this Lord's Day, the 10th of May, 2026. This is Mother's Day. We want to wish a happy Mother's Day to all the mothers and grandmothers and great-grandmothers, as well as to all of the virtual mothers out there and virtual grandmothers. And today we are giving honor where honor is due. And all the mothers out there, we thank God. We thank God for your years of love and hard work and sacrifice. And while we honor you today, we give all the glory to our God. And the title of my message this morning is A Legacy of Faith. A Legacy of Faith. We're going to roll right into our first scripture. It's from the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1. And this particular passage is from the NASB, the New American Standard Bible. 2 Timothy 1, we're going to read verses 3 through 7. Betty's got it ready for us there. Paul writing to Timothy. I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers, night and day, longing to see you, even as I recall your tears, so that I may be filled with joy. Verse 5. For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelled in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. Thus reads the word of God. Father, as we come into your house today, we desire to lift you up. And Lord, you have told us to honor those to whom honor is due. And we are lifting up our mothers and grandmothers and great-grandmothers today. God, we are giving them a special place of honor today on this Mother's Day. And God, we desire for you to be in all of it. We praise you in Jesus' name. Our Bible contains two letters written from the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul, who is an elder and leader of the Christian faith, to the younger Timothy, 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. These two books are full of incredible truths and memorable Bible verses as the Holy Spirit inspired the Apostle Paul to write these epistles. In verse 2, Paul calls Timothy my dear son, even though there's not a biological connection between Paul and Timothy. And there's a common theme that we're going to explore today. We notice in these verses that the first thing Paul does is thank our God. And right afterwards, he acknowledges Timothy's mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois. Paul says, I am reminded of your sincere faith, which was first evident in those women, your mother and your grandmother. This book of 2 Timothy is full of incredible wisdom and guidance, but it starts out with acknowledging the positive impact of two women, specifically two mothers. Paul understands the connection of how a godly woman can raise godly children when their faith is sincere. So for Timothy, his mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois are biological influences. These women likely have raised Timothy and have guided him through his youth to become the man of God that he now is. Now, without question, many of us here today have also been granted the same opportunities to learn and grow in the faith. And I'm thankful to our God that he provided that same gift to me. You see, long before my dad became a pastor, even before my dad was coming to church, my mother made sure that my brothers and I were in church every service. My mother made the sacrifice to get three young boys ready for church. And I can only imagine the madness that took place every Sunday and every Wednesday. The easy thing for my mother could have been going to church on occasion, perhaps once a month. After all, getting three boys to settle down and get ready for anything is hard work. If my mother had chosen that easy path, well, who could blame a mother of three boys, right? But instead, she put in the hard work and sacrifice. And as a result, I learned Bible stories from Sunday school teachers. I was taught the gospel of Jesus Christ from children's church teachers. I learned all the books of the Bible at a very young age. I was shown the love of God by a great number of godly men and women at Wheelersburg Baptist Church. way, way back in the 20th century. In part, I owe to my mother thanks for my spiritual upbringing. And I presume there are many of you out there that have a similar story. And by the way, my dad started coming to church when I was maybe 8, 9, 10 years old. I don't remember. At which point my brothers and I realized that we had to immediately straighten up and behave in church. My dad's story and the influence that he had on me, those are also critical, but I'm going to save those for Father's Day. That's the month of June. But I sustain that kids need to be raised in church. Children need to be in church, not just for the music, not just for an occasional Bible story, but to also be raised by spiritual mothers and spiritual fathers as well. Kids need to be in church. It's okay if they don't understand every single thing that they see. It's okay, but they'll remember it later on. Children have memories of their mother, memories that last a lifetime. I remember my mother teaching me how to tell time on an analog clock. Analog clock. So for the young people watching today, you know, the analog clock's that ancient circular device that had a 12 at the top and some dot. Well, yeah, some Gen Z kids listening to me and saying, oh, sundial. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I remember my mother teaching me how to tie my shoes. Mom, I know you're watching. I still tie my shoes today the way that you taught me all those years ago. Children remember the influence of their mothers. Mothers have a grand opportunity to pass along a legacy of faith to their children. But that time period where they have their children, it's only for a few short years. Mothers have a grand opportunity to do what Eunice and Lois did for Timothy. And later on in this epistle of 2 Timothy, Paul writes some very memorable texts that we will immediately recognize. I'm going to go over just a few of these. I don't have them on the screen. But just seven verses later, 2 Timothy 1:12, Paul says, I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him. They made a hymn out of that verse. In chapter 3, Paul warns Timothy that in the last days, people will become what? Lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive. He has a long, nasty laundry list of bad behavior. Paul says people will become lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And that truth is certainly present in the year 2026. And at the end of chapter 3, in the last verses, Paul reminds us that all Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Very famous verses, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. People of faith know these verses. And yet Paul begins this letter by thanking God for the influence of Timothy's mother and his grandmother. Using the Bible in the way that we just read in chapter 3, teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness is a goal that godly mothers seek to achieve. Godly mothers desire to raise their children to become men of God and women of God. Godly mothers understand that while they are imperfect and sinners themselves, they desire to be a positive role model for their children, teaching them to avoid the ways of the world and to instead embrace the ways of God. And I've always believed that no one loves a child quite like a mother does. I believe our God embeds inside a mother's heart a nurturing instinct to love and care for a child in ways that no one else can. In fact, as we read Scripture, we learn that God Himself is a nurturing God. Our God acknowledges that all humans undergo both a physical and a spiritual development process. We're not born fully developed. We're not born with a brain that can immediately process and properly interpret all the stimuli that comes our way. But as we grow spiritually, there's also a need. As we grow physically, there's also a need and an opportunity to grow spiritually. So listen to what our God tells the prophet in Hosea chapter 11. Switching to the NIV, Hosea chapter 11, verses 3 and 4. This is God speaking to the prophet. It was I who taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by the arms, but they did not realize it was I who healed them. I led them with cords of human kindness, with ties of love. To them I was like one who lifts a little child to the cheek, and I bent down to feed them. God reveals to the prophet Hosea his great love for his people, even when they fail, even when they stumble. And in the verses just before and after those two verses, we learn that despite God's immense love and nurturing for his people, they gradually turned away from God. It's the story that we've mentioned. We mentioned the roller coaster many times, how Israel has gone up and down. They gradually turned away from God. God brings love and healing and kindness and nurturing to his people. And it's God's desire that we both acknowledge and thank him for his love. We honor our mothers who also brought us love and healing and kindness and nurturing. But we give God all the glory. It is his love that we mimic here on earth. It is his kindness that we seek to share with those in our circles. It is his healing that restores us when we are weak. And it is his nurturing that ultimately allows us to grow both physically and spiritually. And this language that God uses, it's deeply intimate, it's deeply affectionate, it's deeply physical. Motherhood reflects this patient, nurturing character of our God. God's presence, God's gentleness, and God's healing are just a few examples of his transforming work in our hearts. God's love is the kind of love that helps us stand up and walk, even when we have wobbly legs. God's love is the kind of love that celebrates every little baby step. And in just a moment, we'll delve even further into God's love. And while there are similarities between our God and our mothers, let's look at both comparisons and contrasts. Our mothers are human, and humans are not perfect. Our mothers make mistakes, sometimes with the very best of intentions. Our mothers are under pressure from the world to be a supermom, even though there's no such thing. But our God never gets tired. Our God never fails. Our God never stops loving his people. Our God is faithful, even when we are not, especially when we are not. Our God loves us when we fail to love him. Our God protects us, heals us, restores us, and delivers us over from death to life through his gift of salvation, the redemption of our very souls through the blood of Jesus Christ. And I have long wondered if we will exist in eternity with our God, always pondering how God could love us so much. And as we've said before from this pulpit, love is not so much something that God does, but it's rather who he is. It's who he is. God is love. Mothers love their children because God loved them first. Let's all be reminded of what the Bible tells us about God's love. We're going to look at 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, NIV, beginning in verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Every Christian mother desires to share this kind of love with their children. Every Christian mother desires for their children to demonstrate God's love with others. Every Christian mother desires for their children to receive God's gift of salvation, made available through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 5, Paul says it this way. He says, God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's Romans 5:8. There is no greater love than the love God has already shown to you and to me. God didn't choose us because we first chose him. God didn't love us because we first loved Him. It's not even close. It's not even close. God tells Hosea that He loves us even when we don't recognize Him. As we celebrate this Mother's Day, we are reminded that a mother's love is a reflection of the heart of God. But did you know that you do not have to be a biological mother to have this same kind of impact on a young child, perhaps a teenager, even a young adult? The Apostle Paul dedicates the entire chapter of Romans chapter 16 to a great number of men and women of the faith, some who worked right alongside him and others that supported him from a distance. But listen to what Paul says in verse 13, Romans 16:13, NIV. Paul says, "Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too." Man, think about that. Paul tells the church in Rome to greet Rufus and his mother. This unnamed woman makes it to the Bible as someone who is a virtual mother to the Apostle Paul. Imagine that. Paul does not elaborate, but he says, "This woman has been a mother to me." Again, think about this. The man who wrote half of the New Testament is acknowledging the positive impact of an unrelated woman who was like a mother to him. So what does that mean for us today? I think it's safe to say that every woman has the potential to be a spiritual mother to someone else who's both growing up and growing in the faith. It doesn't have to be a biological connection. A spiritual mother doesn't have to be a biological mother. This is a calling, a spiritual calling for the entire church community. And I've always said, never underestimate the positive impact you can have on someone else. Never underestimate the impact you can have on another person's spiritual growth. That's the legacy of faith the Bible speaks of. And if you'll allow me, I wanted to share a personal note of gratitude. It took me a long time to realize this truth, but I've since repeatedly thanked my God for surrounding me with people who love me in my entire life. I go back and look, and they've always been there. In my lifetime, God has placed wonderful people in key positions to guide me, to care for me, and to show His love through those people. For my parents who are still together after reaching 63 years of marriage last week, I'm grateful for their love for me. For my late neighbor, Charlie Payne, who walked me home when I was a small child, dangerously standing in the middle of the road, I'm grateful for Charlie's love. For my Sunday school teachers, my children's church teachers, my youth pastors and senior pastors in Ohio, Tennessee, and Georgia, I'm grateful for their love. For my older brother David, who guided me through grade school and high school and even college, I'm grateful for his love. For my neighbors, my classmates, my co-workers, and yes, even my managers at work, I'm grateful for their love. And for the folks here at Three Mile Wesleyan, I'm grateful for your love as well. All my life, our God has surrounded me with people who have loved me. It all begins with God. And after God, the first human that shows love to us is our earthly mother. And on this Mother's Day, we honor both our physical mothers and our spiritual mothers. As we return to Romans chapter 16, Paul recognizes at least seven women by name. Seven women by name, two other women by family affiliation, and perhaps many, many others that he collectively greets. In verse 14, he calls them older brothers and sisters. It may have been dozens of them, I don't know. If you are a Christian woman, whether you are a biological mother or a spiritual mother, your role and your place in God's church is important, and it's one worthy of honor. In the last three verses of the book of Romans, Paul reminds us that there is great significance for all the hard work and sacrifice being put in. Paul tells us there's a great goal as we seek to reach the lost with the message of the gospel. And he tells us finally there's an ultimate purpose in all of it. Romans 16, verses 25 to 27. Also from the NIV. "Now to him who is able to establish you in accordance with my gospel, the message I proclaim about Jesus Christ, in keeping with the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all Gentiles might come to the obedience that comes from faith. To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. The mission that our God has given to all of us is to reach the lost. And how do we do that? We reach the lost by demonstrating His great love and revealing the gospel of Jesus Christ. The ultimate purpose in everything that we do is to glorify the God who created us. As we celebrate this Mother's Day, let us be reminded that the love of a mother is the reflection of a love from a perfect God. As we express our gratitude to the mothers who brought us into this world and nurtured us and raised us, let us be reminded that our God is the one who knit us together in our mother's womb. Our God is the one who gave us meaning and purpose before we took our very first breath. Our God is the one who loved us before we were born. As we honor both our physical mothers and our spiritual mothers today, we give God all the glory. Not only did our God make it all possible, but He also gives us meaning and purpose and destiny. There's meaning and purpose and destiny for what we do here. And through faith in Jesus Christ, whom God the Father sent to die for your sins and for mine, we have a hope and a future. And one day we will be in God's presence. One day we will see the nail prints in the hands of the one who died for us. One day we will experience the love of a perfect and wonderful God forever and ever and ever. And as we dismiss here this morning, let us celebrate both Mother's Day and simultaneously give God the glory for everything. That's the legacy of faith that the Bible describes. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we are grateful for our mothers, both our spiritual mothers, our physical mothers, our virtual mothers, God, all those you have put in our sphere of influence, God. We thank you for their influence on us, their legacy of faith, their impact that they made in our lives. Father, we are grateful for your love. Lord, we desire to reflect the same kind of love that you have for your people. We desire to be a people that are a people of meaning and purpose and destiny. And Lord, we desire to reach the lost. And as always, God, we continue to pray that you would send laborers into the harvest. Father, thank you for our mothers today. We pray a special blessing on them. Thank you for all those that you have put in our lives, God, to be influences for you. Father, we want to praise you and give you glory for all of it. In Jesus' name, amen.